The very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim begins with the words Ve'ela HaMishpatim, and these are the Mishpatim. And that letter Vav, Ve'ela, and these, leads Rashi to tell us that the Pasuk is trying to teach us that Ma HaRishonim Esinai, that is coming to be most of all Rishonim to add to last week's Parsha, of Parshas Seyisro and Matan Torah, of the Aseret Sedibros, Ma HaRishonim Esinai, just like those early mitzvot, meaning those lofty mitzvot of the Aseret Sedibros that are the sum and the sum total, the totality of Judaism, at least in terms of the headings and the primary mitzvot, everything else is a subcategory of them. So just like those Aseret Sedibros are set at Sinai, Afelim is Sinai, so too these mitzvot of Parshas Mishpatim are from Sinai as well. Why was this so important to emphasize? The fact is that Mishpatim is a different kind of parsha, different from the parshas we had until now. Shemos, Eir, Bo, B'Shal, Chisro, the ideas of Matan Torah, the ideas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and so on. And along comes Parshas Mishpatim, and you have the nitty-gritty of those mitzvahs that we refer to as the mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaver, between man and man. The particulars and details of what, secularly speaking, would be referred to as civil law. The laws between people, what happens in the everyday lives of people, if they damage each other, if they hurt each other, if they attack each other, if someone steals and doesn't have money to pay back, lending money and borrowing money and so on. And those don't seem to be the kinds of things that we consider to be particularly spiritual and particularly lofty. And therefore, the Torah wants to tell us, no, that these are important as well, just as important as the Aseret Sedibros. So just like they come from Sinai, so too this comes from Sinai as well. We tend to have this distinction, and it has a certain basis, between mitzvot that are on the one hand ben adon l'makom, that are between man and Hashem, and on the other hand, the mitzvot ben adon l'chaver, between man and man. But the truth of the matter is that line, that thick black line that we tend to draw between them is not really so clear and is not so obvious and not so true or as true and as dividing as we may think it to be. We may get a little bit of help from Chaim Shmulevitz, who has a talk in this week's parasha, one of the mitzvahs in this week's parasha, and really what he does primarily in this shmooze is to review Rashi on the psukim, except that he's looking at Rashi from the eyes of a Baal Musar, of someone who wants us to be sensitive and to be sensitized by the words of Rashi, and the halachos and the details that Rashi gives us regarding this mitzvah. And the mitzvah is the mitzvah of lending money to another Jew. So let's take a look at the psukim and at some of the Rashis and try to appreciate them and listen to those Rashis from the perspective of the Baal Musar, such as Chaim Shmulevitz. The pasuk says, "Im kesef talva esami, esa an imach." Im kesef talva ami, esami should be translated normally as "if you will lend money to someone, to my nation, to my people, to another Jew." But Rashi says, quoting Rabbi Shmuel, that kol im v'im shebetorah, generally speaking, that's true that every im in the Torah means reshut. It's optional. If you lend money, if you do this. However, that's not what it means here. Chutz migimel, there are three exceptions. And one of those exceptions is right here in Kesef Talvas Ami. That if Kesef Talvas Ami does not translate as if you will lend money, but when you will lend money, meaning to say that if you have money available, if you have money to give to somebody else who needs it, and you can lend it to that person to give it to him for a period of time so that he can do something, perhaps build a business, perhaps buy something that is important, perhaps take care of some of the necessities in his life, and you do that, then you're doing a mitzvah that's really required of you. That this notion of that I'm a nice guy if I do that is not really so true. Certainly it's a nice thing to do, but it's more than nice, it's obligatory, it's a requirement, im kesef tavasami, when you lend money. The poster goes on to say, esa'ani imach, the poor person, you're lending money to who? To the poor person with you. Says Rashi, have you mistakel ba'atzmacha, you should view yourself, kilo ata'ani, as if you are the ani, as if you are the poor person. Meaning to say that when you lend money to somebody else, you have to put yourself in his shoes. You have to imagine, what would it be like and how would you feel if the situation was reversed? If you were the one who had to come on to somebody else and to ask him for help and that person was helping you and with that feeling, that awareness, and that sensitivity, that's what you have to be feeling when you lend the money to that other person, to be aware of what he is dealing with and how hard this may be for him. Pasuk goes on to say, L'sielo kenosha, you should not be to him like a creditor. That means to say that you can't act around him as if you are somebody who lent him money and how he owes you and owes you, and to remind him of that. If you know that he doesn't have money right now to pay you back, you should not appear to him like someone who has lent him money. If you do not lend him money, as if he's just another person, to relate to that person in a way that makes him feel comfortable and doesn't constantly remind him of the fact that he owes you. The Pasuk also says, you cannot charge him ribbons, you cannot charge interest, and we'll get back to that in a moment. And then it says, "Imchavol tachbol samas reyecha." If you were to take collateral, a garment from this person as collateral. Now, collateral is a reasonable thing to take. Collateral is something that you take because you want to ensure repayment of the loan. But here the Pasuk says, if you take samas reyecha, if you take the garment that he needs, then abo ashemesh tishivenu lo, you can return it to him. You must return it to him before sunset, which Rashi explains means that it really depends what kind of garment you're dealing with, halacha tells us. If you're dealing with a garment that he needs at night, you have to return it to him at night. And if it's a garment that he needs during the day, then he can take it in the evening, but you have to return it to him the next morning. So what is that? What's the purpose of collateral if you always have to return it to him whenever he needs it? So the Gemara addresses that and explains what benefit there is to you, but at the same time, it is certainly limiting and curtailing the benefit that taking collateral would normally have for you, but that's the way it is. You have to be sensitive that you're dealing with a person of limited means and you're taking something of critical need by him. He critically needs that. It's very, very important for him to have that garment when he needs it, and therefore you have to return it to him whenever he needs it. This is awesome sensitivity, tremendous sensitivity that you have to have. So here you have a mitzvah. You have this mitzvah of lending money to somebody else. It seems very, very straightforward. You lend money to somebody else, and what does that person have to do? Has to repay you. And it doesn't seem very complicated. And yet the Torah makes it complicated, but complicated by requiring of us to have sensitivities to the person who is in need and who is taking advantage of the opportunity that we have, the benefit that we have of having that extra money and giving it to him. As a matter of fact, the pasuk goes on to say, if you take the garment and you don't give it back to him, when he cries out to me, I will hear him. I'm compassionate. And the Sforno explains that what this means is that if he cries out to Hashem, then the way the Sforno puts it is Hashem will take some of that money that he gave. That Hashem says, I gave you some money. I gave you the money that you need to live on, but I gave you extra money. And the reason why I gave you that extra money is so you could do good things with it. And therefore, if you don't, then I'll have to take some of that money and give it to him because you're not using it the right way. So the whole purpose of that money the Torah is teaching us, the whole purpose of the extra resources that we have is so that we can use it to help others. And then if you go back a little bit to that particular halacha of los asimin al v'neshach, not even being able to charge interest. We are so used to this, and this is so ingrained to us, that a Jew does not charge interest from another Jew, and we take that to an extreme, perhaps with Rabbanah, that we can't take anything from that person, and we have to, we can't even say thank you when someone gives us money, when lends us money, because we're giving something back in addition to the money, we're giving him that expression of gratitude. Very complicated halacha of the ribbis. But if we think about it, what's so terrible about charging interest? And the Torah is very harsh about it. What's so terrible? You can charge rent for anything that you rent to anybody else. You can rent a car to somebody, you get the car back, plus the rent money. You rent an apartment to somebody, you get the apartment back eventually, plus the rent money. But yet you can't rent money, so to speak, to somebody else. If you give him money, then he has to have that money free of any other obligation other than to return the money. And the idea is, perhaps two ideas we can suggest. And it's not our suggestions, but we see this in the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says one. I will mention another idea from Rav Hirsch. The idea, first of all, being, and this I believe I heard from my Rebbe, Shlita, Long Beach Church Yeshiva, Yitzchak Feigl Shtak, Shlita Shadavapur Shalema, that the Torah wanted to leave us one mitzvah that we could do with somebody else that should be done without any ulterior motives. To lend money and don't expect anything extra, just to get the money back. It should be pure It should be pristine. It shouldn't have any other benefit. I'm not doing this because I gained from it. I'm doing it simply because I want to help you. I want to help another Jew. But there is an additional idea that Rav Hirsch suggests. Rav Hirsch suggests that the idea of not being able to charge interest turns this mitzvah into not just a mitzvah ben adam l'chaver, this mitzvah of lending money to somebody else, but also a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. It's a mitzvah that relates to the whole idea of emunah. When we think about the mitzvah of Shemitah, for example, the mitzvah of Shemitah says that every seventh year you have to let your property rest. The message over there is that while you think your property is yours, you think your land is yours, real estate belongs to me, it's my real estate, it's mine, along comes the mitzvah of Shemitah says it's not yours. It really belongs to Hashem, Kilichal Eretz, the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore when he tells us to let it rest, then we have to let it rest. We can't do with the land whatever we want. A similar message is being sent with the mitzvah of ribbis. With the mitzvah of ribbis, of the prohibition of accepting interest and even entering into an arrangement where somebody would voluntarily pay interest, can't do that. Why? Because at first glance, it seems the money is mine. Why should I not be able to charge interest for my money? It's my money. I'm lending it to him, and I'm making a condition that he's got to pay me interest in order to borrow the money from me. Along comes the Torah, and this mitzvah of ribbis, this prohibition of ribbis, to tell us, no, it's not your money. The money belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as Sfarna said, he gave it to us in order to use it where we're supposed to use it. And in the case where we have surplus money, the way we're supposed to use it is by, in fact, helping others with it. And it's for this reason, I've heard, says, that in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Bahar, where it talks about the details of the mitzvah of ribbis, it concludes over there with the following words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher tesi eschem eretz Yitzrayim, los eschem eretz Canaan, li eschem elokim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Yitzrayim. I am the one who has given you the land. Has given you the land, and therefore I am the one who has given you all of your resources that really belong to me, and you have to use them the way I tell you to use them. And he adds, there's a fascinating Gemara, very powerful couple of lines of the Gemara above Metziah regarding the business of not charging interest. The Gemara says as follows. It brings you a brisa. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. You learn that a brisa, Rabbi Yossi says, Bor e samius eneim shel malve beribbis. Come and see the blindness of the people who lend money and charge interest. You know, presumably they write up a note that says, you have to pay me X amount of interest. When I lent you this money, when you paid back, you have to pay me some interest. So says the brisa as follows. Adam korla chaveiro Russia, but someone calls somebody else a Russia. Yori malachayev, he yells at him. How can he do that? How can he call somebody? How can he call me a Russia? Vehem, and yet these people, meaning those who arranged to lend money, to lend their money and charge interest, vehem evin edim, they bring witnesses, belavler, and they bring a scribe, bekulmus, and a quill, udio, and ink, the kosvin, and they write up this note, the chosvin, and they sign it. But what is it really saying, that note? What's the underlying message of that note? Ploni zeh, this person, this lender, kafar belokei Yisrael. The note says that he denies the existence of Hashem, the God of Israel. Because he's lending money with interest, he's saying the opposite. He's saying, no, the money does not belong to Hashem. The money belongs to me, and I do with it as I please, instead of doing the money what Hashem wants me to do. So, in fact, what we see from all this is that the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaver ben adam l'makom is suggesting that there's a line between them, the two different categories, is not really so clear at all. The idea would be that certainly there are mitzvahs that are exclusively ben adam l'makom, that are completely under the domain of between man and Hashem, but there are also mitzvahs that in addition to being ben adam l'makom are also ben adam l'chaver. That in addition to be mitzvahs between man and Hashem, they're also mitzvahs that affect other people. But not that they're exclusively between one human being and other, but rather they're also demonstrations of our belief in Hashem. And this should be a very powerful idea that we take with us wherever we go, because the mitzvahs that Adon Chaveru are constantly facing us, where whatever it is that we're doing, whether at home or in the workplace, in the business world, honesty and integrity and decency and appropriateness, all those things are Adon Chaveru. But to recognize that when we act appropriately in matters by Adon Chaveru, we're actually serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. They are also by Adon L'makom. They are as important to, and equally important to the Seres HaDibros that Ve'el HaMishpatim, that just like the Aseret HaDibros were at Sinai, so too El HaMishpatim, the mitzvot, Bet Adon Chavira, the details of day-to-day life and interaction with other people, were also given to us at Sinai, and we observe them. We're actually serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei Yisrael.